Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome. This is a Grey's Anatomy deep diving podcast. We go through all of the episodes. We're currently in season 18, episode 10, 11, and 12. And since we're a spoilers podcast, make sure you've watched, I'm going to say through mid-season 19 before you listen to this, because we will ruin everything for you.
Yes, unless you don't care about spoilers.
Yeah, then keep listening to us.
Yeah. Like Abby said, we're a Grey's Anatomy podcast. If you want to support us, you can do so by going to Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom, and you can be an intern, resident, or attending. You get really great things for doing that. You can be a member of our Facebook group. You can hang out with us on Zoom. You get 10 minutes of extra bonus content called Post-Op. Mm-hmm. Tonight, we're talking about Nick Marsh and his work.
Yes, and his work.
Or Scott Speedman.
I didn't know how to phrase his work. His operations?
His
job?
How he approaches his job.
There we go. That's good.
So that's what we're talking
You're
about.
You're in grad school.
Yeah. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight.
I can't emphasize enough to how much your support means to us. I feel like it just needs to be said that without it, this wouldn't happen. So
we would have quit a long time
ago. To those of you who've been patrons since the beginning, thank you. To those of you who are new, welcome. And if you've been thinking about it or you're on the fence, try it for a month. You can always back off after that. But any amount is really, really appreciated. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Another cool thing that we started last week is called Getting a Second Opinion. And So if you have something you want us to hear, or mostly if you want us to put it on the pod, because if you send it to us, we're going to assume that you want it played on the on the podcast. You can send us an audio message to theoncallroom@gmail.com. And that's a space where maybe you have a different take from what we said the week before, or maybe there's something you're looking forward to.
Or maybe you just want to give us an anonymous, or like a tell-all, or not a tell-all, like a confession.
Maybe you want to give us a confession. All of those things are options to you if you are a patron. So again, you can send that to theoncallroom@gmail.com. We haven't gotten another one yet, so that's not going to be tonight, but
we would love it though. So please send them in, and please rate and review us, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. 5 scalpels.
Please.
Please.
Oh, I also want to say two things about if you send an audio message. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be put on the podcast because you send one. Thank you for doing it. But just – and also, if you are going to disagree with us, just maybe try and be kind.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a different opinion.
Yeah.
But
we love
don't
it.
Call us idiots.
I would like someone to call and tell – like who is like an Owen stan. Like I would really love that.
Yeah.
Same with Nick Marsh. Like if you are – all in on Nick Marsh or Owen, call and tell me why.
Yeah,
just
great.
Me. Just, call me.
Yeah.
Call me, pick me, choose me, love me. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I had a really great spring day.
I was going to say, how is the sun affecting your...
My mood? Yeah, it's exponentially better. Yesterday was really nice. Was Easter. Spent it with my family. And then today, I dropped my husband off at the airport. And I immediately went to the garden house because he was not with me. And I could do what I wanted. And I went in for shrub fertilizer and left with a bunch of flowers and did not find shrub fertilizer. So
that's okay.
It's all right.
The front of house of Bree's house looks incredible.
Thank you.
It is colorful. It is welcoming. Also, your neighbor has their little like spring banner up.
Yeah.
So it felt like you couldn't have not.
Yeah, I know. And I still had all of like my Christmas stuff in my pots. And it was time to go. You know, it's like was 65 degrees today. Yeah. We don't need
my
pot evergreen.
73 at one point, which was wild.
Yeah. So it was a beautiful day. I did some other planting of perennials in the garden, some spring ones that I've been wanting to do for years because you got to get them in.
Yeah.
Like in spring, and I never do stuff this early. And so that was really lovely. I'm trying to harden off some of my seedlings. So those are outside. And then, you know, just like putzed around my house without my husband here, which is also like.
Do you feel a little like your house, you know, it's going to look the way you want it to look?
Oh, yeah.
Like that is, yeah.
Yeah. Like all of his stuff is put away, and like it will stay that way until he comes home on his 40th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, oh wow, you're home alone all week.
Yeah.
So sad. Also, I When did you drop John at the airport? Is this too personal? Was it early in the morning?
No, it was like 11:15.
I was wishing it was like 6 a.m. because then I would have just missed John by like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. That would have been.
I could have waited at the airport and you could have given me a ride home this just, morning. yeah, it was really late when I got in.
One, two?
It was like 12:30.
Ugh. Never good to get in that late to a small airport.
It's like an alternate universe. Oh, I have to say, this is like the cutest thing. I was sitting next to these two high school girls who I had a middle seat and they came up and I could tell that they had one on either side. And I was like, do you guys want to sit together? And it was like an hour long flight. And they said yes. And I was like, thank God. I was like, can I have the aisle? Didn't realize her parents were on the other side. So I probably should have taken window.
Sure, but
I get really claustrophobic. And so anyways, they were next to me and I had headphones in. I was watching Sweet Home Alabama, which honestly I have a lot of thoughts on. And at the end, I took my headphones off. And as we were like landing and like taxiing in, I could hear them talking to each other. They clearly went on spring break together. Mm-hmm. One is a friend, like it was the other one's family. And they were like, I just want you to know, like this week wouldn't have been the same without you. Like, I love that we're such good friends. Like you have to promise, like always be my friend. And they're like, aww. Of course, like, I love you. Like I have never heard such young people profess so openly. They're like, aww. It was like friendship love.
How old did they seem?
Probably like, well, it's hard to tell because everyone looks like they could be in college now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to guess like sophomore, junior.
Yeah, that's really
very
sweet.
Tan, little Nikes with like high white socks, spandex shorts.
Really cute.
Really fucking cuter than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I was like self-conscious because I was like, I'm just a fuddy-duddy old person next to them.
Old lady.
It doesn't matter what I looked like, but, and then I was like, I was watching Sweet Home Alabama with subtitles mm-hmm. and then I ended up turning them off. Cause I was like, what if they looking, I'm like, they probably don't know this movie. And there's that line where Jake Perry says like, you hoity toity Yankee bitch. And I swear to God, that's when she like looked at my thing. She's like, they're probably like, what is she watching?
You love that movie so much.
It's because I watched it at such an age.
Yeah.
Like it's not my Titanic, but it's like, yeah. It's like it very, I just, it was so, I loved it
meaningful
so much.
To you.
Yeah. And it's just fun. And it like ends up, you just, I don't know. It has everything you want in like a rom-com. It hasn't aged well in many ways. But also I'm like, why did she choose that guy over Patrick Dempsey, who is in politics? He's a Democrat politician.
A Democrat Republican.
That's what I almost said. His mom is evil. His mom is played by the woman who plays like the evil woman in Miss Congeniality also.
Uh-huh.
I feel like she always plays that role.
Yeah, she's
like villain.
She's typecasted.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I don't know. I just love it. I'm also very attracted to the Southern guy, which if you all watch Yellowstone, he plays young John Dutton. So
I need to watch that show.
I'll watch it with you. Should I come over every
my aunt and uncle at Easter were talking about it. And I was like, John won't watch it. And I'm like, why am I trying to get John to watch this? I should just watch it myself.
It's so good. The problem is it is really good. And you'll be like, you need to be watching this.
And then what he'll do is he'll be like kind of watching it. And then he'll be like, who's that?
Like
what's that?
Phrase.
Yeah. Oh, it drives me nuts. I watched Turning Red last night.
Oh, isn't it incredible? I sobbed.
I cried so hard.
End.
Oh my gosh.
And they're in the forest. I feel like that's the part that lost me.
The part where the mom of Maymay to her mom, to the grandma, says, I'm sorry. And the grandma's like, you don't have to apologize. Like, I'm your mom. And I was like, oh, no.
Yes.
And then the fact that like,
oh, it's so good.
They all chose to give up their pandas still. Like, I thought, to me, I like for a second, I was like, oh God, are they all going to be like, we won't give up our pandas again. And I was going to be annoyed by that. But instead, Maymay's the only one who doesn't. And the mom even asks again, like, please just like give it up. And she's like, no, I want to change. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was really sweet that like, you know, generations beyond us can maybe not get it, but still support.
Yes.
Us. Oh, God.
I have goosebumps. I watched it and then I wanted to watch it with my mom. Like, I was like, I need to watch this with you and then we can have deep discussions.
Yeah. It was.
It's so good.
It was really, really good. And like the beginning of it, John was, he was like on the couch, but he was on his computer and I was like, I really want to watch this. And we were having like a quality time by sitting next to each other, but like not talking to each other. And the beginning, he was like, you are really loving this. I was laughing so hard at she's like, I'm 13. And she's like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I was like, I feel like that's how I was at 13.
And the fact that it takes place like when we were that age. It's like the Pen 15 of animated films, which is just such a joy. Like, I love that. I think a lot of filmmakers are our age now.
Yeah.
And so we're getting a lot of content. I feel like that hits home in a special way.
I also really love that it's like an animated film that is a different culture. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like Disney's been doing a really good job of that, that it's not just white.
I should watch people. It again.
Yeah. It's so good.
All the friends too are so
all the
funny
friends
and
are
cool.
So good. Mm-hmm. And that's like one of the coolest parts is that her friends are the one who help her calm her like inner beast and not her family. Like
right, it's her chosen family.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. So if you haven't watched that.
Do you wonder what your panda looks like?
It's probably a purple rectangle, but
Inside joke.
I did like inner work and a purple rectangle showed up. I wonder what, would I be a really big panda or like a Mei Mei sized panda? The mom was a huge panda.
That was wild.
Yeah.
She was as big as a stadium.
Mei Mei.
It's such a good.
Yeah.
I should watch
it. What would you look like? Would you be a panda?
I think you don't have a choice, right?
Okay, sure. So you're, okay, but would you be small, medium, large?
Not as small as Mei Mei's, but not as big as Mom's.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between.
Okay.
But probably, I don't know. I gotta think about that.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have
to. Is yours Marge?
Marge size? I feel like I'm a bigger size panda than Marge.
Yeah, just a little beep, beep, beep.
I don't have beep, beep, beep emotions. Mine are pretty big.
Oh. I'm trying to think what else.
What does your hat stand for?
It is a nail polish brand. It
says Ruth.
I know. That's the brand. I ordered nail polish
I know.
From there.
I know, Brie.
Nail polish, and it came with the hat.
Interesting.
And I like the color a lot, a bright green.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot.
Also, it's hat girl summer for me.
Yeah, I love a hat.
I wore a hat yesterday. I wore a hat all weekend, pretty much.
The one thing I don't like about a hat, and
it hurt after a while.
Sure. Yeah, that's not what I was going to say, but you're right.
Can I guess again?
Yeah.
Is it that you're committed to it? Because
yes.
You can't take it. I've seen that photo of you.
Dude, don't come for me. I wore like a garden hat to Easter yesterday because we were going to be sitting outside a bit, and I wore like a little top bun.
You looked like, what's her name?
I looked like a coastal grandma, Diane Keaton.
Diane Keaton, yeah. You honestly are giving me
that vibe
right
again.
Now.
And I ended up taking it off and it was fine, but like I did have a really cute like top bun and then it was so smushed when I took my hat off. Yes. And I was like, it just is what it is.
Yeah, hats are hard. That's often why I don't wear them is it's like, well, I can't take this off.
And you look really good with a hat on with your hair down and I look like a doofus, I feel like.
This is new for me. I usually only like wearing my hair down in a hat when it's short, when it's above my shoulders.
Yeah.
So I don't, thank you. I'll take the compliment, but I'm still trying to just be comfortable with it. Because I just feel like it's like a horse.
Like, or it's like feels like kind of like Forrest Gump a little bit.
Yeah, like it's not long enough to be like really long.
Yeah.
But it's getting there.
Yeah. Looks great.
Thanks.
You look so good.
Thanks.
All the time.
Wow.
You're my.
I don't know if I can take that.
You are my fashion inspo.
Wow. That, you know who mine is? Those girls I sat next to in the airplane.
I get that.
I was like, so girls, I was like Steve Buscemi in that, hello, you fellow youngsters.
Yeah.
I also decided this week that I'm going to watch Good Will Hunting. I've been in a mood to watch that movie.
I only watched that movie once, and it was with you and Jake.
That's crazy.
I know.
We love it.
I'll watch it again with you.
It's so good.
Will you make me popcorn?
Yes. Also, I do have, okay, yes. Please, anytime can we do that? I got a TikTok that was that scene when Robin Williams is like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And it just breaks him down.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I gotta watch that movie. And then speaking of, what was it?
Robin Williams?
No.
Popcorn.
Popcorn, you coming over.
Fuck. Goodwill Hunting.
I forgot my,
Steve Buscemi.
It's gone. The thought is gone. And it was a good thought too. It'll come back.
Just pop it in.
This is my brain, right? It's late. I came over late.
Yeah, it's not that late. It's 7:30.
It's light out, so it felt like I was like, I'm not late. And then I looked at the time and I was like,
yeah. I feel like we record a little bit later in the summer.
Yeah. I'd be in bed if this were winter.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I'm reading the book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Okay. Have you heard of this? Uh-uh. Have you seen the cover? It's like a Kleenex box.
Okay.
It's blue. It's by Hold Tight Everyone, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. I'm by a best-selling author named Lori Gottlieb. Gottlieb.
Okay.
She's a therapist.
An actual therapist.
I actually don't know. I don't know if the fiction writer, I need to look into that. Like if she's writing as a therapist or if she
This is a fiction book.
It is, but I actually do think she's also a therapist. I need to look into that.
Sure.
But it's told by the perspective of a therapist mm-hmm. who goes in and like you hear parts of her sessions and she just talks about her clients. It's like you're her inner voice. So you're hearing about these clients.
I would love this book.
It's so funny because she talks about like how, and then herself is going through a major breakup. So she's not well.
Yeah.
So then she goes to a therapist.
It's like Shrinking.
I feel like I'm like, is that book based off of, maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think so. But like in her therapy, like she meets with this one guy and she's like, there's something to love about everyone, but sometimes it's harder to find. And it's just like really interesting. And I guess the book is pulled, all of the actual clients she's talking about are pulled from like real life, but names changed, you know, all these mm-hmm. things so that it's in no way tied to these real people. But she's like, the whole thing is like, you're probably going to see yourself in many
ways.
I think you would get sucked into it so quickly. Also, I'm learning a lot about, like, I feel like because I hear you talk about grad school, I'm like, oh, I remember when Bree talked about that.
Yeah.
So it's very, like, accurate to what I believe therapists, their education is.
Yeah, so maybe it is a therapist.
I bet it is, who's also a writer.
Yeah. It's like me. Remember, I'm writing a novel.
I can't about wait Colleen. For it to come out. For about who?
Colleen is her name.
Is that the one about a mother-daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someday. I haven't, you know what? I should touch base on that. While John's gone this week, I'm going to do a little writing. A
yeah. I'm going to picture you like in Love Actually, though. You're going to just write it on printed pages and they're going to blow away. Over.
And then I'll fall in love with, what's his name? Colin Firth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Today is, the first two are like normal-ish grays. Third one is a doozy.
Yeah. So season 18, 10, 11, 12, Living in a House Divided, Legacy, and the makings of you.
I'll go first.
Great.
That sounded like
hit him on the head.
Not that, but I like that. Okay, since the early 1900s, morbidity and mortality conferences, or M&Ms, have helped surgeons learn from cases where there was a serious complication or fatal outcome. During M&Ms, we assess both systemic and personal errors. We review every step, every decision. We get to the bottom of what happened and how it happened. We consider what we could have done better or differently and hope we never make the same mistake again. It's been said that a house divided against itself cannot stand, but conflict on the road to progress is inevitable. And at least some division is always a certainty because we all want what we think is best for everyone. And when we can trust at least that much to be true, it's simply not realistic for any house to avoid some division. But how much division can any house withstand before it finally falls? Meredith Grey.
The Apgar test, the Whipple procedure, the DeBakey clamp. DeBakey? DeBakey? So many of the tools we use in our hospitals every day are named after the people who invented them. Even diseases used to be named after the people who discovered. But a medical board in the 1970s discontinued that practice, claiming that no one could own a sickness. As altruistic as the profession is, doctors are human. If we do something that could change the face of medicine, we want our name on it. When people hear our names, what will they remember? What did we leave behind? Did we blaze trails? Did we guide a new generation? Did we bestow all the wisdom we could? Have we paved a legacy? Maybe instead of wanting to be known for what we've done, let's be known for who we are. Meredith Grey.
Our genes, which we inherit from our parents, determine who we are biologically. Our blueprint, everything from our eye color to our height. Even our laugh, but also our diseases. Asthma, diabetes, cancer. But who you are at your core goes way beyond genes. Who you really are is the result of many, many things. How you deal with fear, who you surround yourself with, and how you show up when it matters. Meredith Grey.
We have shotgun workup now. Frank, hernia.
Owen Hunt. Open femoral fracture, tibial plateau fracture, facial lacerations and contusions, L1 burst fracture.
Lila Hanley. Osteoarthritis, spinal disc herniation.
Francesca Lyons, herniated discs, endometriosis.
David Hamilton, Parkinson's disease.
Arthur Kaya, end-stage liver disease, primary sclerosing cholangitis.
Owen Hunt, cerebral spinal fluid leak.
James, brain death.
Maggie Pierce influenza.
Derek Bailey Shepherd influenza.
He had influenza? Oh. Yeah. Rouse. Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Eminem.
Oh, wait. This was my footnote. Oh. There you go.
Great. The hospital hosts an M&M to discuss what happened with Levi during the failed Weber method surgery. Maggie, Dr. Lynn, and others turn on Richard and start to question them as to why the Weber method was even allowed in the first place. Feeling attacked and like he disappointed the closest thing he has to daughters, Richard comes to terms that maybe his method wasn't the best approach. He apologizes to Bailey for overriding her concerns with his wife, and the Weber method is suspended forever. Levi is struggling and is at home where he breaks up with Nico and refuses to come back to the hospital. Richard spends the day with Levi watching and learning from him about open world video games, but ultimately Levi still tells him there's nothing left of him and he won't be coming back to surgery.
Cormac Hayes stops into the hospital one last time where he thanks Meredith for helping him realize that there could be life after loss. Teddy approaches him and tries to get him to tell her what happened in that car. Cormac tells her that Owen gave his life for him and he is forever indebted to him. Teddy ends up seeing Noah's wife get Owen's car keys, and she follows her out to her car, to his car, to see her grab something from the glove department.
The glove department.
She threatens to call the police if she won't tell her what she took. On Teddy's day off, she spends it at a bar with Joe, where she tells her that she's considering ending her marriage because what Owen did is so bad she can't comprehend it. After Owen's scare and surgery, she comes back into the room and sits with him and tells him that she isn't sure she can forgive him, but that she's ready to talk. Owen says that what he did was not because of him being triggered or a mental health moment and that he would do it again.
Link treats a patient complaining of knee problems and immediately reduces her symptoms to her weight, encouraging her that losing 10 to 15 pounds would solve her problem. It's not until Perez speaks up and points out the way the patient is walking that Link realizes there might be something more to her problem. While in surgery, Bailey talks to Link about the myth of BMI and encourages him to see the whole patient, not just their weight.
Joe is still sleeping with Link and is developing feelings. She asks Karina if she believes in casual sex with friends, and Karina tells her it's fine unless someone is in love. Joe decides to tell Link that she doesn't think it's a good idea that they continue sleeping together. And when Joe walks in on Link taking a shower in her bathroom, they begin to make out and she pulls them apart even though it's painful. He asks if he should move out and she says maybe.
Nick Marsh meets Meredith's sister in a funny interaction in the hallway, and afterward, he and Meredith tell each other they don't ever want to leave each other. We also follow Nick Marsh during a major transplant surgery where we can see how much he cares for both the donor and the donor recipient, and we'll talk about that in post-op.
It's finally time for David Hamilton's groundbreaking surgery, and he agrees to let Meredith bring in the interns and attendings to learn from the procedure. They open up the gallery and film the entire process from beginning to end. In the middle of surgery, Amelia gets the alert that Owen needed to be taken back to surgery, and she almost left the room, which would drop the FDA funding of the project. She convinces Tom to operate on behalf of her so that she can stay. The surgery is a success, and Meredith surprises Nick in Minnesota to celebrate.
Bailey is invited to work and research for NASA and tells the new attending Jordan Wright about this move. They bond over robots and nerd culture, and she tells him that he is one of the bright spots in her day. He misreads the situation, and he tries to kiss her.
In an episode completely out of the hospital, we learn
and
more.
And out of the blue.
Literally out of the blue, we learn more about our characters. Meredith spends the night at Nick's cabin attempting to escape her research writing and comes head-to-head with Nick's niece, Charlotte. Charlotte has recently dropped out of college and struggles to explain why to her uncle. As they work through it, Nick and Meredith get even closer and admit they are falling in love. Maggie finds a letter that Ellis wrote her and never sent and goes through a flu-induced dream sequence where she sees both Ellis and her own mother and grapples with what it all means. Winston encourages Zola that it's okay to wonder about her birth mother and talks to her about loss and fear. Amelia stays an extra night in Minnesota where she goes to one of Kai's band's shows and ends up at their house afterward where she learns the names of all of their plants. Kai encourages Amelia to stop self-deprecating and try to appreciate and love every part of herself.
And first notes.
Mine is, why did I write to Link, this is fun? Oh, they're having sex. And Link says, this is fun.
Oh,
and I was like, for him. Like,
right.
I was just like, that is how the perfect way of like describing
yes.
it.
So I just said, we're having an M&M. But then I was like, why is Nick in Seattle?
He just is bebopping around.
Yeah. I just found it interesting.
Yeah.
Is he visit? Like, I couldn't figure out, like, oh, is he visiting Meredith?
Was it or- because, and it wasn't because he's not involved with the David Hamilton
no,
thing.
No. So I was kind of confused by that. But
I also just want to point out that I don't know, this isn't a goof because there aren't any goofs. Okay. In episode 2,
mm-hmm.
when Mare or and Nick 11. are walk, Sorry, the second one we're talking about. Yeah. Yes. Mara and Nick are walking out of the hospital and it's snowing. And they have the conversation where they say, I don't want to leave you ever. The next episode, he's biking in Minnesota.
Dude, I said the same thing. I said last episode, it was snowing. What the fuck is going on?
It was like spring.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Like, she was wearing a winter sweater at the cabin, but when she shows up at his door,
it was like warm weather.
And when he biked to work the day before,
there was no snow. And it was snowing in Seattle.
Right.
So that must have meant like Minnesota was very cold.
Yeah, it made something happened.
Something did happen. I agree. What do you want to talk about first?
I just want to maybe just do a little section on, I really enjoyed the last moment with Cormac and Mare.
Yeah, tell me more.
I still think that any conversation they have has more chemistry than a whole episode.
Yeah.
But I just liked that he said, you know, like basically, I didn't think there would be life after Abigail. And then she says, your plan was to leave without saying goodbye. And he says, if I say goodbye to you, Gray, I might not actually leave. You're the first person who got it. You made me feel less alone. You helped me believe there might be life. And Mare, the only thing that pissed me off is the only thing Mare says is, you too.
I know.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was, I'm going to say it's believable on his end, not hers.
Yes.
Like his acting and commitment to this like mystery, moody person is so great. And I was like, bye.
Yeah. I will say that last week we
didn't think there was.
There wasn't going to be another scene with the two of them. So I was like, oh, I was surprised to see them together again. But yeah, that was our goodbye to Cormac Hayes. And
I hope he found someone.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. And I'm sure he's living a nice life in Ireland.
Also, I thought it was interesting. I guess maybe we can go. How do you feel about going into the Teddy Owen?
Sure.
So Teddy like chases him down.
Yeah.
And tries to get him to tell her what happened in the car. I thought it was interesting that his like point back is that like because of Owen, I'm alive and I can start this life with my kids. It's like he's not willing to, as much as I think he like legally is worried about, he will not tell Teddy. He probably doesn't want to let another doctor know also, because then it's just like someone else is now.
Yeah, it's like snowballing even more. And I'm sure he's kind of protecting Teddy a little bit too.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. If she knows, then she has to do something about it.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too. I think Teddy was like, you're uprooting your whole life because of what Owen said.
Right. And I don't think he's actually feels indebted to Owen. I think he is using that
as a way to protect Teddy. Uh-huh. But yeah, I agree. But I'm missing in my brain. There's someone Teddy has another conversation with someone. She goes back to Owen.
The wife.
After that, because then she walked, or is that the conversation?
Oh, Megan. She has a conversation with Megan.
Thank you. I knew I was missing like a timeline.
Which is interesting because Megan says something I think really illuminating about Owen. She kind of makes this excuse for Owen about like everything that Owen does is out of good intention, but he sometimes like doesn't think things through. So I can promise you that like his intention is good.
Right.
But that's like not helpful. I'm really trying to find, I took a note. Oh, he's rash and stupid and almost always selfless. He must believe it's his only option.
Yeah. Which is, I think you're right. It's illuminating, but it's also one of the things that I think as viewers is very frustrating to watch Owen as that character, because he isn't in this moment. And I think we get there in the argument later on between Teddy and Owen, is he's not thinking about his family at all.
No.
Like, he's only thinking about helping these other people, but not thinking about doing how that would then affect Teddy and his kids.
Do you think he also has guilt because he didn't kill his one friend? But, you know what I mean? Like, that one guy died and Owen.
Which guy?
The guy that was going to go to Congress, like Noah.
Oh, the veteran. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering too, if like, he's like, feels indebted. So he's like, of course I'll do this for Noah.
Yeah.
Like I owe him, you know?
Right. I'll do it for Noah, but then also three other people.
Yeah.
So after that conversation with Megan, that's when Teddy runs back to talk to Owen. Cause I think she's kind of feeling better about like, okay. And then Noah's wife is there and is taking which also I was like, why is Owen's truck still at the hospital, but whatever.
Yeah. Also, what's crazy is they've not yet said what Owen is doing, like, other than when Owen told Cormac.
Right.
Like, in that very frenzied moment. So, and then, you know, when Teddy talks to Joe, she doesn't say what happened. Mm-hmm. And even when Teddy and Owen talk, they don't say what happened. I'm like, if you missed that one scene, you'd be like, what is
I'm very confused. Yeah, that's true.
Because I thought that the wife would say something to Teddy.
And
like,
she doesn't.
It just like cuts.
Yeah. So
it's interesting that Teddy is in this spot of like, I feel like I can't criticize you because I've done some horrible things when I wasn't well. But Owen's like, I'm not.
I know. Well. I thought that was really interesting because Teddy tries to come in and I think she is being really compassionate and like trying to find a way to forgive him, but also like, yeah, justify what he did because in her mind it's so wrong.
Yeah.
And so like he must not be well. But then for Owen to slap back of like, I'm glad you want to talk, but I'm actually fine.
He's not triggered and he's not in a mental crisis.
Yeah. It's like, oh shit. And so can we then talk to this leads into Teddy and Joe day drinking?
Yes.
Because I actually really enjoyed them day drinking.
Oh yeah. It reminded me of Addison and
yeah.
Who does Addison date? Oh, by herself.
Yeah, she's and I felt like that it was like kind of old grays. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that scene the first time it came out, and I think I liked it too. Mm-hmm. Like I think they're just being really funny together and doing the thing where they're kind of not really talking about anything.
No one's giving anything away.
Yeah. And they're like kind of talking at each other, which is kind of what happens when you drink too much. Like,
yeah, and you're both
feeling
something.
Nobody's listening.
I love when she's really playing the darts. She's like, I think I'm done. Joe's like, yeah, that's a good idea before you hit someone. She's like, no, with my marriage. Yeah, and then Joe just goes, I love Link. Yeah. Like, it's like very whatever.
Yeah. I enjoyed that scene. But then Owen has a brain thing.
Yeah. It was interesting that I felt more emotion towards Amelia feeling that than
Teddy.
Yeah. Which Teddy kind of missed it. Like she got there afterwards.
Yeah.
I also loved Tom being like, don't make me cry before surgery. Owen's like, I don't care who does the surgery. Like, someone fix me. Yeah, it's interesting, too, though. I hated how Owen was like, you know, it's not a mental health crisis and I'm not triggered. I stand by what I did, but I'm really glad you were ready to talk. I'm like, I don't know if she is anymore.
Yeah, like that's not.
And I really don't think he even thought about his family. Like, no, I don't think he has.
No, that's it. That is 100% right. And then the next episode, we have him in Link's sweatpants.
Yeah. Also, like, no one's helping him.
Well, because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, he's already had, like, 4 PTs quit on him. And he, like, and Link's kind of like, you have all these PTs quitting on you. You, like, are refusing to even do the work before you fire them. He's an awful patient.
Yeah.
And so Link shows up. Does some stretches with them.
They just do some real man. They're like very, very masculine. Like they're like in a not great way.
Yeah.
Like both of them are just yelling at each other.
Yeah. So that's kind of like where the Owen and Teddy thing stands.
Yep. Can we talk about Joe and Link?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I feel bad. I love every storyline that Joe's involved with. There's something that I've never been able to put my finger on that stops me from like really loving her character.
Sure.
I don't know what it is. It's like not the actress's fault. It's not I just don't know. But anyways, and Link also is not a favorite of mine. However, this story and this idea of being in love with your friend mm-hmm. and then like, I love that. Like it reminds me of George and Izzy kind of, weirdly, I loved that storyline. I know I'm like one of the few, but the scene when like, we think maybe she's going to tell him that she loves him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even in that moment, it's like game time decision. And then she tells him they can't do it anymore. And then in the shower, I felt that tension.
Like, oh yeah.
When they made out and then had to pull away. And then when she says, maybe you should move out. And it just made me sad.
Yeah. I thought it was, you know, it was interesting. She asked for advice from Karina. Karina's
the queen of sex and love.
And it's just like, yeah, casual sex and with a friend is great. They'll make you feel good. But she's not like looking at Joe. And I love when she looks up at Joe and she's like, oh,
it's not
but
casual.
This is not casual for you. And she gives Joe 2 options. Mm-hmm. Like either you stop having sex with them or you tell them how you feel.
Yeah.
And you do think for a moment she's going to say like, Link, I love you.
Yeah.
And then she says, we shouldn't have sex.
I wonder.
Which I think is the less vulnerable choice.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Way scarier, because then that, what happens to your friendship?
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that Amelia thinks that Joe's being weird to her because Link is talking to her about Amelia, but it's because
she's been sleeping with him and she loves him. Yeah. Yeah.
I love Karina as like this queen of all.
Like, yeah.
She's also so beautiful.
Okay. I am going to take us to, I think it's really important that we touch on this since we
I know what you're going to say.
The Link thing, since we are talking about Link and talking about the BMI. And I remember watching this and like last week, so I remember watching this when it first came out and the week before, like Link had said the thing about Kai, like in the pronoun, and then this week, and I was like,
this is why.
I was like, Link is an awful human. I remember hating him. And in this moment, I don't like him, but I also understand that it is like the culture and society and like the oppressive nature of like fat phobia and fat bias that is like creates a Link, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I felt really bad too, that like, I love Perez's face during that. He's just like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Like, but I also feel so bad because Perez is in, like Link is a superior, and so he's not in a position to say anything.
To speak up.
And also Perez is in a fat-bodied person.
Right.
So also like –
it's like a double whammy.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of it, I don't know that Link got it, you know?
I know. I wish it had been more of a – which I guess maybe it's more realistic that it doesn't quite sink in yet because it's basically like unlearning a system that you've – thought and that works for like you've always fit into this the peg, you know what I mean? Like, and so I feel like for him BMI, like, of course it's makes sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like it might take him in. I do wish there'd been more of like a we understand now that he understands how wrong it was. To me it was just like, oh, now that I saw you walk, I like, you know, I don't know.
I thought it was good too, like with Bailey, when they're in surgery and like Bailey gives her speech. And I do like that Link is like, well, then why do we still use it? And Bailey's like,
insurance.
Fucking insurance. Dude.
Which I was going to shout out. If you have not listened to Maintenance Phase before,
so good.
It's an incredible podcast. They have different subjects each time, but there is specifically one on BMI.
Yes.
Which if this was new information to you, which like maybe it was, that BMI is not a reliable sense of anything.
Yeah. And it's inherently racist.
Exactly. Then definitely go and that would be my biggest recommendation, to learn everything you can about that system and why it's so outdated and messed up and racist and bad. And so maintenance phase.
Yeah. Happy that Grace put this in here. I remember last year when we watched this, I was also happy. Like, this is we need to be talking about this more. Mm-hmm. Very short storyline, but I do not – I mean, I definitely don't feel like Grey's would have put this in season one or two.
Absolutely
so,
not.
So really happy to see it in
there. No, they had like large-bodied people come in and they were like all appalled by them in some of the things. You know what I mean? Like made jokes. So I feel like this has come a long way and is like time.
Yes.
Also, how did you feel about the endometriosis? I wondered how you felt about that.
Fine about it. I felt like it was a very – I was like, oh, this is an endo story, which I don't know if I've ever said on the podcast that I have endometriosis. So everyone, I have endometriosis. And so I just felt like it was very quick.
Yeah, it was like a quick – like, oh, we have surgery and now you're good.
And I like – and – I get it. It is like treatable, but it seemed more like it's very treatable. And it's like, it's actually like
a lifelong
thing. And even getting surgery, like you can still have pain and sometimes they don't get it all. And then it grows back. And so like they made it seem like, oh my gosh, this is something that will like make your painful sex go away and it will be fine. But like, depending on where you're at, it can cause infertility and all these different things. I wish they would have gotten into that more. And I can't remember if they talked about at all that BIPOC individuals are less likely to get diagnosed with endometriosis. And the actress who was not a white person. And so I thought that would have been really cool to put in there too. Mm-hmm. Like educating us about like, oh, no one has never talked to you about endometriosis. Right. That's probably because like a lot of, like, before they used to think that, like, only white women got it, and which is just, and so that shit gets carried down and, yeah, like, in the medical system. And so anyway, I thought it was, I'm happy to hear that it was in there, but I also, I get that they couldn't do more with it.
I wondered, I was like, wow, this episode really hits on topics that, like, Bree and I have discussed
at length.
But I also, I felt like, I wondered if parts of what people learned from it were like a shock versus like, I know about it from you. And like how like, oh, that's why you had back pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, yeah, I do wish there was more of it.
Yeah.
What was, oh, my favorite quote was, Joe was like, fertility issues, like endometriosis, blah, blah, blah. What do all, what do men get? And Karina's like, all the research.
I loved that.
That was a great line.
Yeah. I guess, actually, I want to say one more thing.
Yeah, no.
Because I am actually really annoyed with the writing the line of it's treatable, because it's actually really not. Like, right, they don't have any medication for it. There is, you can get, you can be on birth control and they think that that helps it. And then there's surgery. Like, yes, I guess that's treatable, but like, I guess they didn't say curable, but I don't know. It just felt annoying to me. Yeah. Like, if we're going to write a story about it, like, let's like actually,
diminishing,
like, let's just like, let's get into how fucking shitty it is,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But that's someone who has it. So, you know, whatever.
That's what I'm saying. It makes me wonder, obviously we can only understand like our life experience so much impacts like how we view something.
Yes.
And I'm wondering about like all of these other, you know, like illnesses and diseases and like all these things that people are watching that they have, how they feel it's reflected, you know?
Yeah. And that's why, and I understand at the end of the day, it's a TV show. Yeah. And so, and I can have my own experience and I can talk about it on a podcast if I want to.
Absolutely.
Or choose not to. So anyway, moving on, Bailey gets kissed.
Yeah. I can't remember how this plays out.
I can't either.
I was glad the reaction, though. She was just like, what?
No.
And then he was so embarrassed.
Super embarrassed. Read the signals wrong.
Yeah, like, I actually don't think he's being, like, manipulative. Like, I think I thought at first, like, his goal was that. I really think he thought Bailey was also in love with him. Like,
I think so, too, because she is, like, walk along with me. I'll take my smoothie. Like,
it is. And all their nerd things about robots. I love.
Yeah.
I say nerd sweetly and softly because I'm a nerd.
And it is not it's not unheard of that people have affairs, like, with people that they work with. Yeah. So even though she's married,
I can't remember how it plays out. I feel like he leaves.
I think he does. Also bold to do that, like, out in the open at their, like, job.
Wild.
Well, we should quickly talk about, I guess, David Hamilton's surgery, but then we should talk about the third episode.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to talk about the Richard thing, too. Just,
well, I mean, we don't have to. We've mentioned in the rounds. The only part that I felt really hit me with the Weber method whole thing was two parts, was Richard's apology to Bailey about, like, I let my wife overrule you. Like, you actually did voice your opinion, and I went against it. And the part when he says to the three girls, like, you're the closest thing I have. He goes to, well, you know, he didn't even say it. And I felt like them all together was really sweet.
I felt it was, like, really Clue-y when he was walking out of his office. Like, you could tell
he
was just like he got it, but he was also, like, disappointed in himself. And, like, I don't know. It was just really sad too.
Yeah.
Like, Bailey, like, he was ashamed of, like, I put you in a compromising position, Bailey. And, like, it's understood, but, like, he's still really hurt by it. I loved him talking to Levi.
With the video games?
Yeah. Like, him being, and I'm pissed off that, like, you're doing this on this open world or whatever. I thought it was a good analogy.
Yeah, I love that. The idea that you continue to die and you learn, but, like, you can't do that in surgery when you kill someone.
Right.
I was glad Richard didn't make the metaphor of, like, well, you operate again and you learn again. Because it was like, no, this person died. They will not come back. And
yes.
I think that was, like, the difference between the video game and real life for Levi.
Yeah. I just really liked, like, Richard showing up to, just, like,
sitting there.
Yeah, and, like, meeting someone where they're at and, like, spending the entire day, like, trying to understand a video game.
I didn't know what video game they're playing.
I don't know either.
Who you call in.
Yeah.
I was really hoping it'd be, like, Legends of Zelda.
Yeah.
Or Breath of the Wild.
David Hamilton got his surgery.
Yeah, I was really surprised he let it be open.
Yeah.
But I was like, I thought that was great. It felt like, oh, this is what a teaching hospital should be like.
Kai is an awful
that was so funny.
public speaker.
Well, they said something like, research is much kinder than students. Like, yes. like that is why I do this. That was maybe one of my favorite parts. I feel like for how smooth talking they are and like being in a band, the fact that they can't public speak is brilliant.
Yeah, it is just like super awkward talking. I love that Meredith is like, Guy, would you like to like, and they were like,
Yeah, because I feel like otherwise so far that character has been like too perfect.
Yeah.
And so there needed to be something to make them like more human.
Yeah. And I love that they kind of like turned around to Amelia and was like, that was awful. You know, like knew how bad it was.
Yeah, it was great. I will say too, it was interesting the reaction. We haven't got the scene yet where I think, doesn't Kai talk about David Hamilton? And
yeah, we haven't gotten that yet.
Okay. But Kai says to Amelia, like, I understand that someone that is important to you is in surgery, but someone that is important to me is right here with their fucking brain open.
I loved that because
it snapped Amelia back.
Absolutely. And it was nice to like see Kai stand up for David Hamilton, who she really cares about.
It's
got to
be like
about.
The next few episodes that I we think get so. That scene.
Okay, we got to get into this last episode.
Wild. Okay, what story? Okay, for me, if I had to pick, I actually, the least cringy and I felt like enjoyable part was Kai and Amelia. I will tell you that out of all of the things, the band performance didn't bother me even a fraction as much as it did last time.
It still bothered me. But okay, let's start there then. The band scene annoyed me. I'll just say it, whatever. We've heard from listeners that like it was actually like it was cool to see like queer characters like have like the cheesy scene because it was very that's the word I wouldn't say it bothered me. It was just cheesy. Like
that's true.
Yeah. And so but like that queer characters often don't get that. Right. So I'm totally on board for it. Yes. Great. Whatever. I can kind of sit and cringe because I would feel the same way if that was like a heterosexual couple. Like just don't like stuff like that.
This time I stopped thinking about what was happening in the show and I listened to the music and I was like, oh, this is good music. It just doesn't, why is it happening right
on
now?
Grey's Anatomy. Like anytime Link plays his guitar, like, and it just, I can't stand it. It makes me go, ick.
Yeah.
But that sex scene.
Okay, I'm sad. Because I'm sad because I was on an airplane and I went
and
to
and you would have masturbated.
No, I went to another screen because I feel very uncomfortable watching sex scenes when two people are next to me.
I think that's very respectful.
And I was in the middle seat between an old woman and like a young guy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it wasn't because it was a queer couple. It was because any couple. I just cannot watch a sex scene.
On like an airplane. Yeah, I get that.
I like turned my brightness all the way down.
Yeah, like that's totally.
But the glimpses I saw were hot.
Oh my God, so hot. Like, and I remember the first time I watched it, I felt the same way. Like, damn.
Yeah.
That's really hot. And I thought it was really well done and sensual and sexy. I still stand by. We talked about this last time. The plants. I hate it. I hate that. Yeah. Like,
I also, okay, here's my question. So the neck, when they're talking afterwards, Kai's wearing this like super hot, like a white button down with like black spandex shorts and like a little tank and white socks like up high. I loved it. Amelia's wearing like a Paddington Bear nightgown. It's like buttoned, striped, and goes down to her feet.
Well, that must have been Kai's, right?
I don't know. She had a suitcase.
Oh, okay. She did, didn't she?
It was so, it looked like, no, it wasn't Paddington Bear. It's Sleepy Time Tea. It's the bear that's in the chair. So anyways, that's fine.
Didn't really care for like the post-sex talk. Like, I don't know. I just didn't care for it. But
it's getting at the Kai doesn't want kids.
Yes.
We're just not there yet.
We're just not there yet. And I think the thing I didn't care about, it's not that part. It was the part about like, when Kai was talking about their music and how they can like be themselves on stage. And I was like, again, it's just the cheese factor. That in any show, I'm like, ugh.
Ick. I like the word ick.
I'm ick. So.
Even more ick was fucking, why the fuck was Alice Gray there? What? I get that Maggie was, what?
I thought you were going to say even more ick was Nick and Meredith having sex on that
couch. Oh, that too. I still do not understand the entire purpose of the Maggie mom thing, except for the part where Maggie said that she's always felt like something was missing and now she doesn't feel that way anymore. Like she says, Maggie doesn't feel like what that is what she thought she was missing. I don't know. I was like, okay, so that must have been closure for Maggie in some way. Also love that Mare's like, maybe she forgot to mail it. I thought that was interesting. Like, wrote it when she had
dementia.
Uh-huh. And yeah. And never sent
it. Or Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the only part, and it didn't hit me as hard this time. It was the first time. Her mom.
Yeah.
And just, like, showing that, like, a mom is a mom.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? Like, I just thought that was really lovely. But, like, I remember feeling like, why did this all happen? Then we never talk never. About it again.
And it was not prompted.
No, no.
Maggie's not been struggling openly on the show with
right.
anything to do
the
with
The only Alice. Other thing it brought up was like the conversation with Zola and like
oh,
Winston,
yeah.
you know, because Zola's adopted.
I liked that.
But also I feel like maybe Zola would have talked to Maggie about that.
Right. Like that would have been a more meaningful scene than this entire flu sequence.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I liked, Winston's statement, because I've never thought about this before, mm-hmm. where he said he lost the birthday card, the last birthday card his mom sent, and how much he missed his mom's writing, like handwriting. And I immediately flashed to my mom has – I know exactly what my mother's handwriting looks
uh-huh.
like.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, someday, like, I yeah. won't get another card that says, like, love mom and dad.
Yeah. It. Oh, stop.
I know, dude. That's what I thought about, though.
Yeah, my note is, OMG, Maggie's mom. Well, that's nice. Imagine seeing your mom.
That was my note. Imagine seeing her. Okay, so this cabin.
Nick is not well.
Okay, so here's what I have to say about the cabin.
Tell me.
I think the thing that was so fucking annoying to me was like, I don't need to know about this random character.
No.
The niece. Like, this is, it doesn't bring to me, like, Meredith and Nick closer. It's just, like, a waste, and I felt this way last time, it's a waste of airtime
yes.
on this side story that, like, Meredith ends up being like, I had pink hair, and I traveled. And it's like, right. we already kind of knew that, like.
Right.
That's why it was so annoying to me, because we were focusing so much on someone else and something else that didn't matter.
1,000%. The only thing that brought me joy this time was the Silver character.
Oh, Silver is great.
Because when they say, well, I wrote Silver, that's the name of the person who pierced my nose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he says soulmates. And then Silver's talking about shadow selves.
I love
was
it.
Like, I get it. And then microdosing. And then I said, Silver does not read social cues. Like,
no.
And then also, it was surprising me that Silver ate steak. I felt like Silver might have been a vegan.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Just with the, you know, like, everything plants.
This steak
earth.
Is Wagyu.
Silver was the only thing I enjoyed. And I said, I hated the line when Charlotte said, if I do drugs, they will be plant-based.
Oh, I hated that too.
I was annoyed by Costa Rica. I was annoyed by, like, the world is a classroom.
Yeah, everything about it was super annoying.
When Silver here turns to bronze, that is not a line Nick had, though, which that did make me giggle.
The one thing when, like, Nick finds out that his niece is, like, not going back to school or not finishing or whatever. And, like, he storms out and she storms out and blah, blah, blah. And so I think that's when Silver says something about the Wagyu steak.
Yeah.
All I could think to myself was, like, I wish I was that type of person that didn't feel extreme anxiety when people were fighting around
yeah,
me. Like, and just being like, yeah, I'm just going to keep eating this steak.
Yeah.
Like, I would kill for, like, that type of chill. But that, I do not have it.
No, I don't either. I'd be already trying to put the family back together.
Yeah.
I also wrote, do we ever hear from her in Silver again?
I don't think so. That's no. the point.
Did they it's go like, to Costa Rica? Does she go back to school?
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
And, I mean, I guess was this put in there so, like, Nick and Meredith fight?
Well, also, okay, here's the only thing I'll say is the line that, well, two lines. We'll talk about this. I won't talk about the Nick thing. Meredith says, I don't know if I can just go back to Grace Sloan and be chief of general. Which
yes.
I was like, okay, we're putting little hints that. That isn't going to happen. A
yeah.
tulip. That was like Beauty and the Beast.
It was.
A petal just fell off of a tulip.
Yeah.
And it was, it's like
we
we're
have,
running
we
out
have
of
less time.
We are running out of time. So anyways, it was a wild episode. I don't care to talk about it because it was, I could have done without it.
Completely. What did you think about the like sex scene on the couch? It's just like,
no.
like compared to like Amelia and Kai and then like Nick and
so
Meredith.
So unauthentic.
Yeah.
Just, my first two notes are, oh God, we are at the cabin. This is not Meredith Grey. This is Ellen Pompeo. I hate this. Why are they making out with no music?
Yeah.
There was no background.
Yes. Yes. You're so right.
It was silent.
You're so
all
right.
All you could hear was like,
I also didn't like her sweatpants she was wearing. It didn't feel like she would wear that at a cabin.
She was wearing sweatpants with the sweater?
She was, yes. Sweatpants, like, got out of the car in sweatpants and these boots. And I'm like, that is not what Meredith would do. She would have jeans on that are flared. You know she would. She would. And super low rise.
Also, what was she doing walking earlier in these episodes?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
So, anyways, hated it.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
No, let's move on to notes and trivia.
Cool.
This episode's title originated from the song Living in a House Divided, originally sung by Cher.
Love it. It scored 3.95 million viewers.
It marks the final appearance of Richard Flood as Cormac Hayes as a series regular.
This episode's title originated from the song Legacy, originally sung by Eminem.
This scored 3.87 million viewers.
Honestly, they should have switched those because the first episode was about Eminem and then by Eminem. Whoa. Would have been really good.
That's good.
This episode marks the 300th appearance of Kevin McKidd as Owen Hunt.
This episode's title originated from the song The Makings of You, originally sung by Curtis Mayfield.
And it scored 3.6 million viewers. Who are we going to give Catherine Fox to? Silver?
maybe Richard for like
knowing when to step down and step out,
or Amelia. I don't know, not the writers, that's for sure. Not Teddy, not Joe. Let's give it to Silver for being completely unaware.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, perfect. I love it. Okay, what do we rate it?
I'm so the first two honestly were I enjoyed.
It was like okay.
So I'm gonna say I just can't get above a six. I'm just a six.
Okay, like, I'm gonna say probably 5.5.
Okay, great.
Honestly, I probably would give it a six without the third episode, episode 12, but it brought me down to a 5.5. And that's that.
That's that.
All right, stick around. If you are a $10 patron, we're going to talk about Nick Marsh and his approach to his transplants. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a patron. Thank you for
loving us. Time of death
is
2021.
Beep. Beep.